Good morning and welcome again to another rousing edition of Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin here.
This is groovy.
You like this?
I do.
I am a groovener.
You are.
I wasn't running for governor. I was appointed the groovener.
Yeah, in this state.
Of just in Wisconsin. I think, I shall be the groovener of the entire country.
Keeping
it groovy. Keep it all groovy. All right. Welcome aboard. A Friday morning as we wrap up our very first week in broadcast production here at Magnificat Media.
I can't believe it.
The angels are singing right now. Ta-da! We've made it. It's been a couple of long, long nights.
Couple? And, more than that.
And I think we mentioned earlier in the week that we pre-produce this morning show. And we tried to get as far ahead as we could. However, you can only go so far because things happen in the world. Guests can make it certain times, other times they can't. And so it's been a struggle of scheduling and a kind of a learning curve, I think, for both of us.
Absolutely.
On how this is done. But it's very...
But you know, we're working here. We're doing homeschooling. We're taking care of your mom's estate.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff going on here.
Whoa, and my phone's going off. I just gave an angel wings, everybody. How about that? All right. Anyway, so on top of all that, we welcome you and we thank you for your patience and our guffaws. And we were just listening back. There's a thing in radio broadcasting that we do called air checking. And it's where you listen to your show back and you basically critique yourself.
Boy, and did we ever.
There have been times this past week.
It's been rough.
We'd like to have it back. And you're going, well, gosh, it's all pre-recorded. Why don't you just edit and fix? And
so that
all takes time to do. So we appreciate your patience with us as we
learn and
stumble through our beginning here of Magnificat Radio and MagnificatMedia.com. Our thanks to Mrs. Weigel, who's doing an awesome job at night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't caught Mrs. Weigel's children's stories at night. She's reading a book right now called The Happy Hollisters. And she does about a chapter. And it's about anywhere between 8 to 12 minutes, depending on the chapter.
Last night, the kids ran to the computer. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
They ran to the computer. They couldn't wait to hear Mrs. Weigel's story. They wanted to know that. And then this morning, they're like, I can't wait till tonight. I want to hear the next thing.
Well, she does a great job.
She really does.
And I don't think she knew that she did a great job. So if you can send an email to Mrs. Weigel or something, you can contact us right through our website here, MagnificatMedia.com.
Yeah, they really do enjoy it.
We'll pass that right along. So today's show, before we get to this day in history, today is also, we don't do a birthday club or anything, but happy birthday to Anna, our youngest.
Yes, she's 12.
We have a 12-year-old. One more year and we have nothing but teenagers in the house.
Woo-hoo.
Which
it's not been that bad.
No, and you know what? Here's what's wild is my friends who find out, well, we have three teenagers now, and you have another one to be a teenager next year. You get these looks, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you've seen it as well out in the world out there. You get these looks. First of all, those kids are all yours. You have such a big family.
They're behaving.
They're behaving. Your children help you? Are you kidding? And oh my, all the teenagers. Yeah, you get teenage stuff, but we are all blessed, I think, for the most part, as traditional Catholics, to have a good grounding, a good...
Solid base. Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you, Lisa, for doing that. So there you go. Because,
well,
I mean, I'm in the studio a lot, and you're homeschooling and...
Well, you have a part in it, too.
So
good job to you.
All right. There you go. Now we've patted ourselves all on the back. We are going to get to... You ready for this day in history?
I sure am.
All right. Where's my this? See, I lost the this day in history again. How can you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been?
Go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
I don't have my history. Oh, there it is in front of me. Today happens to be the 10th day of July, the 191st day of the year. In the Gregorian calendar, there are 174 days remaining, and 'twas on this day in the year 988, the city of Dublin was founded on the banks of the River Liffey. Liffey? Really? I've never been to Ireland.
Also today, in the year 1212, the city of London burns to the ground.
Oh. Happy
there was
news,
a most severe fire, and it just went up in flames.
Boom. 1460, the War of the Roses. Richard of York defeated King Henry, the VI, that'd be 6th, at Northampton.
Yep. And in 1609, the Catholic German monarchy forms the Catholic League.
'Twas on this day, in 1890, I'm not sure, we should have looked this up. Wyoming is admitted as the 44th state of the Union. And so our chapel in Wyoming, if we have one or two, or I don't know how many, we, God love you. You guys, welcome to the Union. Back, way back
in
then.
In 1890.
All right. Hang on. We've got a heck of a show for you today. We're going to talk pilgrimage. Speaking of things out west, we got a guest on. We're going to welcome Timothy Elo, and it's the Cataldo Pilgrimage. The Cataldo Pilgrimage is coming up later this month. Lisa.
17th, 18th, and 19th.
You just did a big blog on it.
I did.
Unbelievable exhaustive history, not just on the Cataldo Pilgrimage, but on the whole, the Coeur d'Alene Indians and Father DeSmet.
Oh, man, this was the longest one yet.
How long did you spend on this? How many days?
A long time.
I'd come home. I'd come in and she's researching. And she's, look what I found out. Look at that. And pictures and stuff. Huge
block. The history is really cool.
If you haven't seen this on our website, go right now. If you can still listen to us, I think you can. Go down to the bottom where you see news. That's where Lisa's blogs are all showing up. She's done a fantastic job. You can do that?
Yeah. If they go up to the button of listen now, then a separate window comes up.
Okay. Now, you listened closer to the web developers than I did. So, Lisa did this outstanding blog on the Cataldo Pilgrimage, the Coeur d'Alene Indians, Father DeSmet, the mission out there. And there are pictures, and it's a beautiful history. Go down there and look in the news section. We're going to talk
with
Timothy.
Did you say there was a video?
No. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I did put the video up there.
Okay, tell them about the video.
There's a history about the Coeur d'Alene Indians. Right towards the bottom.
Right.
You can see the video, and it's really cool.
Right. And they talk to, like,
the Indians,
chief. Don't
the
they talk to the chief or something like that, the Coeur d'Alene tribe?
Not the chief, but the person that was in charge that day.
All right. Well, he was the chief for the day.
Not the day.
You are chief for a day. Anyway, so check that out. And later on, also, we are going to welcome our very first live, or not live, on-location broadcast with Father Wood. And Father Wood is going to do our Latin word of the day. We were fortunate enough to get to talk to Father. And so we took the microphones out on location and recorded a beautiful Father Wood, who digs into the Latin really, really big time. So that'll be coming up later. And then you may not realize this, how much food you may be wasting at your house. I hate wasting food.
Yes, you do.
I love to eat food.
You hate to waste it.
That's why. So we don't sometimes realize, sometimes we say, oh, well, just throw that out. We waste so much food. And there was a report that I found I thought was interesting. And so we can touch on that, wastefulness, things like that, coming up later on. Not to make you feel bad, just to throw it out there. Once you get the information, then maybe you start changing a little bit.
You might.
I go to the refrigerator sometimes and you find the Tupperware thing in the back. Does anyone remember we had spaghetti back here, which now looks like cake? That kind of thing.
Ew.
So, welcome to...
Your graphics this week.
I really am. And happy birthday to Anna. You are 12 years old. We're going to do this and come back with our Cataldo Pilgrimage. We're going to talk to Timothy Elo, get him on the phone and talk pilgrimage and more. Welcome aboard your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin just making our way through whatever we've made our way through here today. It's Friday, kids. We should have a Friday song.
Ooh, we should.
We're going to try and work on a Friday song. Welcome to your Friday, July the 10th. We're coming back in just a minute. All right, come on. Well, we've talked briefly in the past about pilgrimages, and I have only been on a few short ones. Pilgrimages are, of course, a very deep Catholic tradition, going all the way back to the Crusades, even. The Crusades, which is a huge pilgrimage. And so there are pilgrimages all over the world, of course. One that is coming up is a very historical pilgrimage, the Sacred Heart Mission Pilgrimage out in Cataldo, Idaho. Joining us right now on the phone from Post Falls is Timothy Elo. Timothy, what would your title be as far as the pilgrimage goes?
I guess my official title would be just the coordinator at this point.
Yeah, trying to keep everything as straight, and it must be a daunting task. Let me ask you this. Is this the Is this a pilgrimage to the Immaculate Conception Church? This is to the Sacred Heart Mission. Is this one of Father de Smet's missions?
Yes, actually, it is. The Sacred Heart Mission in Cataldo is actually the oldest church. I believe it's not only in Idaho, but actually in the entire Pacific Northwest. It was the original, the mission where it sits now, it was moved because of flooding, but it is the mission that Father de Smet started with the Coeur d'Alene Indian tribe, I don't know if it was the late 1800s or whenever it was. So yeah, it's been there a long time.
Now, this is a 50-mile mission. I can only imagine you're going to be trekking over some very historical ground then.
Oh, it's fantastic. We start from Post Falls, actually from the steps of Immaculate Conception Chapel on a Friday morning after Mass and breakfast. And then we camp two nights on private campgrounds that we've got set up. But yeah, and that whole time we're crossing over the Rose Saddle up in the middle of the mountains. We're on trails. You know, we've got Coeur d'Alene Lake during some part of the pilgrimage that's on our side. So yeah, it's a beautiful pilgrimage.
When did this all first take place? When was the first pilgrimage?
Well, I was asking a friend of mine who actually, I guess we have him to blame or thank, a friend of mine named Kevin was actually with Father Morgan about 15 years ago. Both schools up here, the girls' school run by the Dominican sisters and the boys' school, it's a society school, do pilgrimages to Cataldo every year, but they're little one-day pilgrimages, about 10 to 12 miles. And it was during one of those that my friend Kevin actually said to Father Morgan, you know, we ought to just go from the church. And it was the next year that they actually started. So it's been this will be the 15th year that we've done it.
As far as coordinating for the pilgrimage, Timothy, you kind of the guy in charge of that.
Over the course of the last 15 years, several people have stepped up to lead the pilgrimage. Okay. The only reason I'm able still to be the coordinator right now is we have a team right now, several people, five or six different volunteers that actually run whole branches of this pilgrimage. We've got people set up to handle all of the food, all the food issues, the safety and the support. We've got people that handle bringing in portable altars on Saturday and Sunday mornings for the priests that show up for the private masses. So there's a lot of people involved. My job as a coordinator is really to just try to help, you know, the different team leads make sure that they don't have any roadblocks and just, you know, keep things going that way.
Well, you mentioned multiple priests. Now, the small little the pilgrimage that I've been on here in southern Wisconsin, a little three-day pilgrimage. Now, yours is 3 days, but how many? We have one. We have Father Dean. How many priests, how many people are going to be on your pilgrimage?
So it grows Friday because it's still a work day. Typically, around Friday is about 180 to 200 people. And then by the time we hit Sunday, it's around 400 to 500 people.
Wow.
We break up into smaller chapters of about 30 to 40 people so that we can, you know, everyone keep track of things. But we end up having anywhere from, you know, four or five, sometimes six or seven priests, as well as brothers from New Mexico. We've got seminarians that make it a point to be out here during this part of the summer so they can participate in the pilgrimage.
Okay.
We have some priests that actually will fly in for either a Friday or a Saturday, even though they've got to be back to their parish on Sunday, but, you know, they want to participate.
By the way, we should probably put out there, you can find out all kinds of information about the Cataldo Pilgrimage. Oddly enough, cataldopilgrimage.org. That's C-A-T-A-L-D-O, pilgrimage.org. This comes up, by the way, the 17th through the 19th of July. So,
Timothy, do people come from all over the United States, or where do they come from?
They do. Obviously, you know, the bulk of the people that participate in the pilgrimage come from either from this, you know, parish here. But we've got people. I spoke to a gentleman from North Dakota who's planning on being here. But we've got people from Canada, from as far away as Florida. You know, it's been growing. It's grown mostly through word of mouth. But every time we have the pilgrimage, we have people from other areas. Yeah. So it's coming from all over.
And I noticed that there was some registration forms and things like that they have to fill out. But how would that work for somebody who is, you know, states away?
There's two ways to do it. You know, the simplest way, we've got it set up so it's all online. We're working through a third-party credit card processor that's all secure so that if people want to register online and, you know, pay the fees help us be able to, you know, pay for the campsite, pay for all of the food that's involved.
Right. Water, I'm sure.
Got portable facilities that go, you know, with the pilgrimage. you know, pays for all of that. But they can do it all online, you know, with no problems. Or, and a lot of people do this, they'll register online, but then they'll actually either write a check and send it off to their church office there in Post Falls, or even show up on Friday morning or Saturday morning, whenever they're going to walk, and you know, bring the fees.
Okay. Just back up a big dump truck full of cash. You'd probably take that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Donations absolutely accepted.
Well, and since we're talking so soon, I mean, it's July 17th through the 19th. What's the deadline for somebody who, you know, if they can get to Post Falls and wants to be a part of the pilgrimage?
We have people that are actually signing up Sunday morning to walk that last 12 miles. So there is no deadline. And we finished the pilgrimage at Cataldo with this beautiful solemn high mass outside of the actual mission.
Wow.
You know, 400 or 500 people are there out on the grass under the trees. And then after that, there is a very large barbecue and everybody's invited. I think it's like $10 a person or something for that, even if people don't walk on the pilgrimage. So, you know, the deadline, depending upon when you're going to walk, is, you know, up to the minute of when you're starting.
What sort of physical, just actual practical tips would you give someone who maybe has never been on a pilgrimage before? Just general pilgrimage rules, so to speak.
So a couple of general pilgrimage rules. People, I think, make this mistake all the time. They look out a week or two and say, I need new shoes. And that's one of the biggest mistakes people can make. Your shoes need to be broken in at least a month, and that doesn't mean just walking around the house. If you're not, you know, if you're not an active walker, buying a brand new pair of shoes is going to just cause all kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm.
When we're on the pilgrimage, we have all kinds of weather. So believe it or not, you know, we had one year where we had all four seasons. We actually got a little snow.
Wow.
The pilgrims got snowed on and rained on for a little bit. Several years ago, there was a huge thunderstorm, and, you know, a lot of the pilgrims were getting wet. And then it dried out. I mean, it got back up to 75, 80 degrees, and we all dried out. So most of the weather is beautiful, but, you know, there's some off weather. But coming prepared for that, I think, is another thing. When you walk on the pilgrimage, thinking in terms of throughout the day, it might be too hot, it might be a little bit cold.
Right.
I think almost every pilgrim carries some sort of a day pack, you know, with some water, with some snacks, right. You know, just those kinds of things.
And now, if they're going to bring a full-on pack with sleeping bag, tent, and all of that, do you have a couple of chase vans they pack that in, a couple of trucks? Or?
Oh, no, it's beautiful. We actually have a very large U-Haul truck that we rent that sits at Immaculate Conception on Friday morning. Pilgrims show up, they load their gear into the big truck, go to Mass, have breakfast, and then that truck is actually driven out to our first campsite Friday night. And actually unloaded, and then pilgrims show up, pick up everything. We've got people bringing not only their tents and their pop-ups, but, you know, people will bring their coolers or whatever else they want with them.
Oh.
So it's a real nice process there.
What about medical? What about first aid, things like that?
From the pilgrim standpoint, you know, some pilgrims who have been on it more than others, they'll bring some moleskin. They might bring ibuprofen, you know, aches and pains, obviously bringing some water. On any pilgrimage, it's a good idea to bring little packets of salt, because most people don't realize that if you drink a lot of water, you're actually stripping minerals out of your bloodstream as well, and actually adding some salt back in helps keep you more hydrated, you know, than just water. So those things from a personal level. Our pilgrimage, what I think is really fantastic, is that we have not only a certified doctor and several EMTs who walk on the pilgrimage, specifically in that role of, you know, medic. We've got a support team, an aid van that walks behind and just keeps track down at the chapter level, making sure that people are hydrated, making sure that if people are, you know, okay, it looks like you've got maybe a blister, you need to get in the van and ride for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that at the pilgrimage level itself, just really trying to be aware of all the pilgrims as they're going from, you know, from Post Falls to Cataldo.
Can you make some suggestions as to how people can prepare spiritually?
Doing any kind of reading or looking it up, trying to find out more about pilgrimages from the Middle Ages. You know, the Catholic Encyclopedia has some information there. I think getting into the spirit and understanding that, yes, this is a trek, and yes, this is, you know, hiking through the forest and that kind of thing, but coming into this pilgrimage with your own understanding of this is actually a spiritual journey as well. I know a lot of people that we've talked to over the years, they actually make it a point to come up with some sort of a, they offer up some sort of, okay, this is my goal for the pilgrimage. I'm, you know, I remember one person actually said that they were offering the pilgrimage up for another lady who had been having trouble getting pregnant,
right,
offering it up so that she would actually
conceive,
be able to have a baby.
Oh, beautiful.
So a lot of people go into the pilgrimage that way, and it's a really good idea to start thinking of, yeah, you're going to be, there's going to be some sacrifices made. You know, it's going to be hot. You're going to be tired.
That's kind of the whole idea.
I think is a real help.
Do pilgrimages usually, this is my naivety, but do pilgrimages normally have some kind of theme that they're, you know, this is why we are doing it as a group kind of thing? Or is it always individual?
That's a good point. Last year's pilgrimage was on the Eucharist, and this year's pilgrimage was an easy one. This one is on the family, with all the craziness going on right now about this definition of family, et cetera.
Right.
Father Vassal here, the pastor, and Father Duverger, who is the chaplain of our pilgrimage, agreed that our pilgrimage's overall theme would be for the family.
Fantastic.
And one of the things that our pilgrimage does, we actually put together spiritual booklets so that each chapter with the priest or the spiritual assistant in each chapter, there are a lot of different meditations that we do, different readings that come up, things like that throughout the 3 days. And this year they're all going to be oriented some way towards the family, whether it's encyclicals, whether it's, you know, writings from some of the church fathers or whatever.
Timothy, let me stop you right there just for a second because we're up against the clock. We're going to take a break and we're going to get back here and finish up talking about the Cataldo pilgrimage. I've got just a couple of other things I wanted to ask. Still to come, ladies and gentlemen, on this edition of Your Morning Tradition with Mike and Lisa Austin, Father Wood is going to be our guest on the Latin word of the day. And then later, a little thing on wastefulness. I found some shocking numbers about food in particular that we waste. It's all coming up. Welcome to your Friday morning. Our first week under the belt. Thanks for being here with Your Morning Tradition on Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com. Living our faith.